All right. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to JavaScript Jam Open Mic. Thank you for joining us. I see we got Loki out there from SalesConf discussion earlier. Thanks for joining. It's just gonna be me today. No Scott and no Ishan. So hopefully we get some people out there who want to come join and speak. I'm gonna throw an invite right now to Jason. Jason, longtime follower of the show. And yeah, for anyone who wanted to go back and listen to last week's episode, I did a whoopsies and forgot to hit the record button. So might recap some of the things that talked about on last week's, just kind of for posterity's sake. And if anyone wants to kind of get that in audio form, we talked a bit about Stack Overflow 2023 results. We got Bro Nifty. I'll throw you an invite as well. Yeah, and today's topics, we have kind of two big headline stories. We got Svelte 4 coming around, and then we also got some developments in 11D, which are a bit ambiguous. But looks like Jason accepted the invitation. What's up, man? How you been?
I'm good.
Yeah, what's new in the life of Jason?
Oh, the same old grind. Trying to keep consulting clients happy. I'm actually wrapping up a meeting right now, so I'm a little double booked at the moment, but
Okay,
hopefully it'll
yeah.
be over in a couple
Well, I
of minutes.
appreciate you hopping up. Feel free to drop if you need to. And Bro Nifty, what's up with you, man?
Hey, what's up?
What is up? Thank you for joining. You guys will be my fill-in co-hosts as long as you accept the duty of being up here. But yeah, feel free to hop whenever if you need to. Anyone got fun things they're working on dev-wise?
No, not really, not really. No.
That's all right. Anything you want to be doing fun dev-wise? If you had an infinite amount of time, what would you be doing?
Infinite? Oh my goodness.
That's a whole different question, right?
Well, because you brought it up so many times, and I've been meant to look at it. Redwood seems really cool,
Oh,
man.
cool, man. That's great. Happy to hear that it sounds interesting to you. I guess like my big kind of like the million-dollar question around Redwood is how do you feel about GraphQL?
Yeah, I was just listening to the Pod Rocket. It's like it takes so long for me to get through stuff because I like stop so many times and I'm like reflecting on what somebody's saying. Anyways,
Sure.
I need to get through this podcast, but it's the latest Pod Rocket
With
with
Tom, yeah.
not to chill for a competing podcast. Sorry, I don't mean to, get
No,
I'm
Pod
trying
Rocket.
to.
We're good friends with Pod Rocket. Don't worry, I've been on
Okay,
Pod Rocket
yeah.
like three
So
times.
cool. So I was just listening to that, and then the founder there, I guess he was a GitHub founder too. A bunch of he's a founder like everything on the internet
Yeah,
back
Tom
there.
Preston Warner,
Yeah,
my
and
homie.
he was talking about the barrier to entry for GraphQL, as you mentioned, and he says you want to bring in a little RSC in there, do some server side rendering, servers, some RSC to complement it to make it a little bit easier, so you can switch between GraphQL or React Server Components. However you want to render your front end, you can kind of he wants to make it interchangeable. So I thought that was kind of a neat concept there.
Yeah, there's kind of like two interesting things going on. And I'm actually not as involved in Redwood as I used to be a couple years ago, but I still just kind of like continue to promote it and talk about it. So I haven't been in any like the meetings where they've really talked about React Server Components yet. The fact that they are talking about it makes me want to kind of jump back into the fray. But I think the two interesting angles is one is like if we do this and we do this right, and we have keep our GraphQL roots, this would be the only way to do GraphQL React Server Components together because like just getting it to work in like Next is already so freaking complicated. And then kind of retrofitting that for GraphQL, I can only imagine the amount of like things you're gonna have to take into consideration. So that's something you want a framework to do for you. But then other people, when they read Tom's announcement blog post, which I'll link in a second, their takeaway is that he was saying Redwood's moving away from GraphQL. And I'm not sure if I really read that in the blog post, but that's what some people took away from it, which I found kind of interesting. So the question of kind of how bought into GraphQL Redwood is going to be into the future seems to be in debate. So that's something that I kind of need to dig into more and figure out what Tom's thoughts are there. So if we got someone coming up, a new person. Hello?
Hey, hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Hello. Feel free to introduce yourself.
So I work in Next, and like you said, it is crazy. It's really annoying to work in it when it comes to dealing with server-side props.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved. I am a long-time subscriber. I used to hear Thursday's JavaScript Java talk earlier when I guess Scott used to host it or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I finally came here. But yeah.
Well, thank you for joining.
You're welcome. I just joined to know what's cooking new in JavaScript right now.
Great, great. So when you do Next, is this for your work or for personal projects or what? Where is that?
It's for work. I would never want to do Next for my personal project.
That's funny. So if you were doing a personal project, what would you like to do?
I would like to go back to React Native.
Ah, interesting. So you're more of like a mobile dev.
Yeah, I was a mobile dev and I moved to the web development. My company just shifted me to a different domain.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense why that would be hard and confusing because, you know, mobile, that's like the ultimate client-side only development. You don't really think about the server at all. I've not done mobile development personally, but that's at least my kind of perception of it.
Yeah. So lately now, I don't know if you guys have explored the ad tech domain. So they moved me more in towards the advertising domain where I have to handle all these scripts and load them. So one of my questions actually that I was intending to ask was related to AMP pages. Even though I work in the web development, I have to make specific pages to load on the mobile app that is AMP that was developed by Google earlier.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, my knowledge of AMP mostly just comes from through like the hardcore hatred that has emanated towards it from the entire web. So I guess I would ask, like, is that a requirement that's kind of just coming up from corporate? Or like, have they told you kind of why they feel the need for AMP pages at all? Because I was under the impression that AMP was being phased out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to convince my lead and my managers that we need to switch out of AMP. And the thing is, they already have these AMP pages running on for years and years. And they just don't want to cut that out because that's generating revenue for them. And I'm just trying to find hardcore points that can validate that AMP no more can generate that much amount of money than having regular JavaScript pages. Because AMP basically cuts out your JavaScript completely.
Yeah, that's a really good question that I will ping Ishan and kind of get his take on. He's someone who, he was kind of an AMP defender. I know that he felt that it was pretty underrated, but I think that even him, he would admit that AMP kind of lost the war, even if it won some battles. So I'll be curious if he would like, I mean, like, we don't do AMP pages for Edgio, that's for dang sure.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, let me just do that real quick. Thank you for joining. Really, really appreciate it. Feel free to kind of hop into the discussion at any point if you want to. And I'll ping Ishan and see if he has kind of thoughts on the AMP world. Have either you, Jason, or Bronifty done much with AMP?
If Jason has nothing, I don't want to hog the mic, but I worked with a tiny, 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 tiny little bit. It was something to help you with mobile apps, right? So better reading experience, kind of like cached your blog and stuff, or for like mobile apps. It was like, there was like a construction website app that they had for AMP that you like help app developers build for small businesses and like have a quick page, cache the page. Is that what the deal is? I did a little bit. I didn't really get into it.
I think in the earlier days, AMP was necessary to load the pages faster because we didn't have all these server-side props generating and we didn't have what Next does now. I'm just trying to find a very valid argument to raise up with my management team that we don't need AMP anymore because I don't see the purpose that it serves anymore.
One thing I noticed was that the markup is really messy. The output is bad. Like, it's not good for... I didn't like trying to debug or to parse through. Like, visually, I look at it and just look like a mess. And so I don't like messy code. So I just threw it away. I said, this is ugly. I can't use it.
I wish I could make that decision that easily.
And what about you, Jason?
Yeah, fortunately for me, I was managed to avoid dealing with AMP when it was popular. But I understand why they were trying to do what they did with the specification to make like a stripped down web experience that is going to make web pages load faster on crappy mobile phones on crappy mobile networks. So it makes a lot of sense. But in some ways, it may have outlived its usefulness. Not that we have super fast networks and not all of us are on super awesome phones, but it definitely seems like it was a problem. It was solving a problem of its era, just like most technologies. And I was trying to find if Mattel is, if he's kind of, I can't remember if he publicly stepped back from AMP. I know when he left Google and went to Vercel, that was that was one thing, but I can't remember if there was more public discourse on what happened with AMP, given his early involvement in it.
Who is that?
Mattel Ubel.
Mattel Ubel.
I think I'm getting his pronunciation correct. I'm horrible with names.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
He's like VP of, isn't he VP of engineering at Vercel these days? He used to be at Google.
That would make sense. Hey, we got Jen. Yeah, good crowd out there. We also got -1 Vortex from OpenSauced hanging out. Yeah, I wish I had some more words of wisdom for you on the AMP pages, but do not. But I pinged Ishan. We'll see what he says. Actually, I got to put all these things on the Jumbotron real quick. So here's the blog post from Tom where he talks about React server components. I should include his Pod Rocket episode as well. I'm a big fan of Pod Rocket. It looks like Mishko just came back as well for another episode. Get that on Jumbotron as well. And then here is last week's issue. Have other people up on the panel been in the Svelte world yet? I think it's, to me, as someone who uses lots of different front-end frameworks, like Svelte almost feels like old school at this point, but I'm sure people here probably may not have even used Svelte yet. So I'd be curious, like Bronifty or Jason, or if any of you have experience with Svelte.
Just a very small amount of it. They had some nice defaults for like animations on the front end. Like when you, if you're like doing a to-do list, it like kind of does like nice, just everything's nice defaults for like the animations, the way it updates and everything like that. And then like their for loops and different things like that, like makes it kind of easy to.
Yeah, it's got some syntactic sugar for things like for loops, which people can be kind of split on. I think once you learn it, it's not that challenging. Yeah, with Svelte, it was one of the first ones that really leaned into saying we have a programming language that we have written, even though it's a templating language, it's also kind of like its own language unto itself, which I think if it's well thought out, there's a lot of merit to that. So that has interesting syntax, and then the animation part, that's kind of a factor of its history. It was created by Rich either at New York Times or The Guardian. I forget which one he was at the time. Yeah, it was New York Times by that point. Yeah, so it was like more interactive type news articles, like, when you have all these, like a chart of, United States while all these polling things are happening, you got interesting animations happening there. So having good animation that's also still really snappy. Rich, I believe, just got married, or at least had a wedding. So, he had a fun video of him rickrolling his audience. So, does anyone else have things they want to talk about on Svelte before we move on to 11D? The 11D news was pretty interesting. It was a bit ambiguous the way he worded it. I kind of feel like whatever happened, Zach didn't want to come out and say it kind of forthrightly. He basically said that 11D's current sponsorship model is no longer a thing. Someone's requesting to come up, and then let me share the blog post. This is something that Jen's following, so I'm counting on you, Jen, to not be following a rando. Amit, hello, are you here? Well,
yes, I am here.
Y'all, hey, what's up, man? You want to introduce yourself to the audience?
I'm a software developer. I have worked with a lot of programming languages, including JavaScript too.
Cool. Do you have something you want to contribute to the discussion here, or a question you want to ask?
Well, I want to take part in the discussion about JavaScript, because I used JavaScript when it was only front-end JavaScript, but nowadays it's also back-end too.
Interesting, interesting. I was actually just listening to Lex Friedman had Mark Andreessen on, who was the one who was running the browser where JavaScript was first created, and he was highlighting how it was first written as a front-end and back-end language, but that took a very, very long time for it kind of to reach the point where people actually used it as a back-end language. I don't know. I like Node. I think that Go and .NET and even things like, you know, PHP with Laravel or Elixir with Phoenix, there's a whole lot of great reasons to use other backend languages. So I think the claim that, like, you gotta write your whole thing in JavaScript no matter what is a bit bunk. But I think also I like Node. So, you know, it's nice that we have so many great options on the backend, I think. Anything else you wanna share? Matt, looks like you have a YouTube channel. You create content?
Yes, time to time. I create content.
Developers don't make content. That's crazy. You think that we can, like, speak and write? I thought we were all illiterate. Do you have something to add, Jason?
I was just thinking about how for probably nearly 20 years, no one wanted to put PHP on their resumes, and now it's back. And I guess Facebook kept it alive, and then now we've got Laravel. And who's that guy buying Lambos with PHP?
Taylor Otwell. I think with PHP, yeah. Like... it was the thing to use for a while, even though other things were, people were writing backends in Python or Perl, and then PHP kind of came in, and I would imagine people who were probably writing other languages, they kind of derided it for historical reasons that are probably, I don't have a really good insight into, but it always had this perception of being the underdog. But then it actually became the thing that everyone used. It was by far the most used thing at a certain point in time, LAMP stack. So then when the underdog becomes the champion, that's where all the resentment then comes in.
Yeah, so unless you were building a blog, PHP was the untouchable thing.
Jason, did you have insight into the way, Meta, Facebook uses the PHP back there? I don't know about it. All I know is, like, WordPress.
I don't have any insight.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about this. If you I'll link this, there's a really interesting thing called XHP. This is like the Rosetta Stone, actually, to figuring out how all this stuff developed, because Facebook historically was built with a PHP backend. So when we talk about the LAMP stack, like, that was probably the most famous epic version of the LAMP stack that ever existed. It was like the sum total of Facebook. And they built this thing called XHP, which was a PHP extension language that lets you write HTML in your PHP. Sound familiar? That then inspired JSX, which allowed people writing HTML in their JavaScript. So that's kind of like the story of how those things relate to each other.
Yeah, I gather you have the WordPress, like, files on files on files, like the just, like, abominable, like, file structure and, like, all the rules you have to memorize to all the different, like, this, everything you have to, like, get, you have to really get deep into the domain knowledge. It's easy to, like, okay, we can just spin up a WordPress site and you've got everything you need for a blog, like, all in one, but then now you want to maintain it, you want to, besides just adding plugins from the admin UI and creating a new post, whatever, or just choosing a theme from the store. If you want to make anything custom on it, then you really have to get deep into the domain knowledge. And it's not really, I don't know more about the PHP languages of the other frameworks, because there's other things too, right? Joomla and other things that they use. I think Brad Traverty started out in the PHP world.
Most of those are still being used by people who, like, just want a pure CMS but don't want to use WordPress for any reason. I think the average dev probably not dealing with Joomla too much anymore.
I would just want to add one thing over here. In some of the websites that I work, we use WordPress as our backend, and we use Next as our frontend.
It's partly a user interface thing, because there's so many content creators, people that write blog content.
I'm a big believer in management as well. I think people's degree are kind of, I don't have a good word, but they are critical of a middle layer, middle management, stuff like that. In some cases, the argument against, like, or the argument saying that having a middle management layer that doesn't know how to code and is just sort of like a timekeeper or whatever, that is counterproductive. Yes, I agree. But like having people who know what's going on and can and understand the tech and can help facilitate ideas and keep things in order and like on time, that is a cultural standard. They're providing a cultural standard, which is like it's really hard to quantify that. I mean, I guess you could quantify it. Yeah, management
is a good metric.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, anything else anyone want to talk about?
What about the latest Next.js app directory canary build of React drama?
It's mostly a semantical argument around what does a canary mean if you're using canary in a major framework that people are shipping as not canary. Does it still count as canary? To me, it kind of came across like a huge bike-shedding argument. Allegedly, Next runs on React Canary just all the time. So the term canary then is like if you run on React Canary, you're usually assuming you're the bleeding edge stuff that could break at any point in time. If you're using Next.js, you're not assuming that, you're assuming it's stable. And what this means for framework authors versus just pure React dev, I was having a hard time trying to figure out what stance either of them were taking. So that's why to me it kind of came across as semantic. So I probably just didn't read it close enough because to me, I usually see this Twitter drama, and if it goes on for more than 10 tweets, I'm like, I'm checking out. I threw out, I was like, hey, we got an open docket tomorrow, JavaScript Jam. You guys want to come in and hash this out in person? Neither of them responded, so I was just like, all right, whatever. All right, cool. Well, if no one else has any topics they want to get into, we'll probably start wrapping it up. Cool. Well, thank you everyone who came up and joined the discussion. This was a lot of fun. Feel free to tap those names and follow people who are up here. And yeah, we'll be here likely not same time next week, who may be an hour earlier, but you know, it'll be Wednesday. And yeah, thank everyone for joining. Have a good day.